Welcome back into the Lads Talking Footy podcast. It's me, Jordan Tana, here with Sammy Whittaker. And man, league is in the air. It's back. Preseason has started.
It is. I mean, we got a little taste last night of the Indigenous taking on the Maori All-Stars as well. And man, it just gets you so excited. So pumped for footy being back.
Well, I would have preferred a Maori All-Star win. They looked a little bit sloppy out there, but you know, footy's back and I'm fucking happy it is.
Exactly. And I mean, you got a real taste of sort of some performances that we can get excited for throughout the season. I thought Tarpany for the Maori was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, bro.
Beast, big season ahead for him.
10 metres post-contact every time.
Exactly. The hammer looked fantastic. Josh Adokar, I don't know about the haircut, but he was flying on the outside. Before we get into part two of the preseason, though, just want to talk a little bit about the betting that we've got going. So last night we had a 7-unit stake with a 13.3-unit collect, just missing on another one from Tomoko, who went over, but he fumbled it on the line, and that would have taken us home. If you're a $10 unit bettor, you would have pulled in $133 last night. If you're a $50 unit bettor, you would have pulled in $665. Had a few guys messaging through and pretty stoked with what they got on. So if you do want to join, it's just through the Telegram app. It keeps it nice and tidy, and you can find the link in our bio for that one. We'll be running it all season. We're casual bettors. Don't come at us on the DMs afterwards, but we want to get behind it and see what we can achieve this season. As for the preseason part two, we're going to start off at the bottom again and right at the bottom this week, and that is the West Tigers. So 2024 games, they gained Solomon Alemoa from Rugby Union. Really high on this guy. I'm excited to see what he can do this season.
Is that the Chiefs boy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was talented.
Latu Fainau from Manly, Justin Olam from the Storm, and Adam Caesar from Super League. They also picked up Jaden Sullivan from the Dragons. They lost Sean Bloor, Luke Brooks to Manly, Dane Laurie to the Panthers, David Nofaluma, Tommy Talau, and Brandon Wakeman. So the Tigers, they did end up losing quite a few guys, but they've brought a lot of young guys in, and it's all getting quite exciting for them. So they finished last year 4-20, taking home the spoon for the second year in a row. They had wins over the Dolphins, the Dragons, but they beat the Cowboys and the Panthers as well. Benji, he's sparking a lot of change within. It's all going to centre around the young fullback in Jareem Buller by the looks of it. Really like what they're doing with Greg Inglis. I think it's positive for the Tigers. This season isn't it, but I like what they're building here.
Can you just explain to me what they're doing with Greg Inglis? Missed that bit.
He's going to be a mentor within the club. Oh, cool. So they're looking at centering him, obviously, around Jareem Buller.
Yeah.
But Benji's just brought him in, and they're just trying to hand off that experience. Like you see with the Storm when they bring in Billy Slater,
Cam Smith. Passing it down.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously, the Tigers have really just got Benji coming back in. So he's bringing elsewhere. And I like what he's done. So it's good to see.
Okay, yeah. No, it's good to have those influences that were legends of the game, because Greg Inglis was, at one point in time, my favorite player. He was an absolute animal in his prime. But guys that weren't animals in their primes last year were the Tigers. Like you said, they did come dead last. They were terrible. They really struggled to execute in the red zone for a lot of the time last year. And I think it was because they didn't really have much stability in the half positions. Like, they were chopping and changing halves each week. It was like Wakeham and Brooks, and then it ended up being Coruscant, and then Dewey was in there. Like, everyone happened to get a run for the Tigers, and they didn't have any two guys just holding it down. But
the Dewey injury was huge for them.
Yeah.
I think they were ready to hang their hat on him being that 5'8 going forward. And then obviously the ACL, multiple ACLs for him. So it is concerning, and they're looking to reset now. So.
Yeah, and even though they didn't have that stability, they never, well, it probably goes hand in hand, but they never found that person to elevate good half play for the Tigers. Everyone was pretty subpar. Even Luke Brooks, who is a Dally M half, believe it or not, you wouldn't know from last year, but he didn't play very well at all. They just really struggled in the back line. But in saying that, their forwards were actually really strong all year, defensively and all round. And they've got a lot of retention in that forward pack, so it should be a strong team again. I do have some question marks over Benji Marshall, because even more so than the coaches we were talking about last week in terms of Flanagan and Hasler, because he hasn't got the credentials that they have. He has a premiership as a player, but he doesn't have the credentials as a coach that those other guys have. So I do really worry about his impact on this team. Not worry, but I just have a question as to how effective it will be, because we have seen in other sports, and maybe sometimes in rugby league, that really super talented players don't always make for the best coaches. You see it especially in like basketball and stuff like that. So it is a real question mark as to how good he will be, but I like to hear things that he's bringing in Greg Inglis, and he's trying to use his connections to help build this team and help to capitalize on the potential that they could have with a young team. So I can actually see them slightly improving. Like you said, I'm not going to throw them all the way up the table and say they're going to change things completely in Wests. But I do see them slightly improving with the additions of Sullivan and Olam. I think Sullivan's a good pickup for them. He showed some potential for the Dragons. And a player of the watch you've already mentioned was Jareem Buller. I think he showed absolute glimpses of superstar potential at points last year. He's so talented, so light on his feet, good under a high ball. And with a bit more opportunity and another year in the league, I think he's going to show out.
The number 7 jersey is going to be interesting for them this year. You've got Jerome Luai, who they've gone out and picked up for next season. Who's going to be that guy that sort of takes charge once that jersey come next year? Because there's a lot of debate on whether Luai will be that 7 when he comes in alongside Epi. Who's going to be the guy that wants to command it? Yep. I think Sullivan's was fantastic, I thought, for the Dragons and Spurs. And it's a shame that it didn't work out there. Can he do something with the Tigers will be interesting. The Bulldogs, 2024 gains. You want to sit down for this one. Stephen Crichton from the Panthers, Josh Curran from the Warriors, Drew Hutchinson from the Roosters, Kurt Mann from the Knights, Jamin Salmon from the Panthers, Blake Taff from the Bunnies, Connor Tracy from the Sharks, Jake Turpin from the Roosters, and Bronson Cherry returning to the league. I don't know. They opened up that checkbook and they folded out maybe some fake checks in that one, because there's a lot that they've pulled
in. Every year that we're kind of listing off the additions that the Bulldogs have, and it's 2 pages long, man. How are they doing this?
It's ridiculous. In terms of the losses, though, they've lost Alamotti, Jake Averullo, Farmanu Brown, Faitala Mariner, Kyle Flanagan, and Tavita Pangai Jr., who looks like he will be returning to the
league. High turnover job at Canterbury.
Exactly. Again, it's the halves combination for me. Who's going to be the guy that links in with Burden? You've got Stephen Crichton coming in. Absolutely fantastic. Josh Curran, I think he showed last night in the All-Star game that there's a lot to be excited about for him this season. Drew Hutchinson just adds that little bit more depth from the Roosters. We've seen him play in the halves if need be. Blake Taff, is he going to take that fullback spot? You've got Connor Tracy in there as well. There is a lot of depth here. Bronson Cherry looked absolutely fantastic as well. A lot of people got to remember, this is the first game back in a very long time. And I think it was 168, I think it was, meters gained, try assist as well for him. Look. So he's looking big and he's looking dangerous.
How big? Is he natty?
I don't know.
He's not going to pop again, is he? Because that'll be his last chance. This is another team that showed glimpses of exciting rugby league and attack last year, but absolutely derailed by injuries. Like they got absolutely hit with the injury bug bad. But in saying that, even the guys that's filled in, and even when they did have, you know, most of their lineup, their defense was real poor last year, which Serralda was given a lot of credit for helping out towards that Panthers defense when he was involved with that system. So, yeah, the Bulldogs still give me sort of worrying signs, but I like that they've made the changes. I like the pickups that they've got in Crichton, Taff, Tracy, man. I think Taff is a good look for that fullback position. I know Crichton has his eyes on it, but I really like him as a center. I think he's one of the best defensive centers in the game, and he has a high nous for picking out intercepts and making the great defensive reads that he does. So I'd like him to stay there, but yeah, they do look a little soft in the forward pack again. And last year it was almost as if Mahoney and Kikau lowered their level of play to the rest of the guys in that forward pack that were kind of struggling. So hopefully they kind of get it right. I do have them improving a little bit. I like what Sexton brought to the team late last year.
Yep.
He was a good pickup for them. And he's kind of, I haven't always been the biggest fan of Sexton, especially with his time in the Titans. But he came in and he showed he knows how to control a game. And he's actually got some deft touch with some short grubber kicks and stuff like that. So I like the pickup of Sexton. But the player to watch for me definitely is Stephen Crichton, because you got to have to keep an eye on where he is going to play. I've already mentioned how good he is on the defensive end in the center positions. But he is super fast. I remember seeing Dylan Edwards make a break against the Warriors, and then Stephen Crichton came out of nowhere tracking up on the inside. So as a fullback, I think he has good potential. I can't imagine him having dodgy hands. He'll have a safe pair of hands under a high ball. So if he does get an opportunity at fullback, I think we could see some superstar potential from him as well.
I like it. And Sexton, like you said, he's in for a good year this year as well. If he can sort of just knuckle down that role, he's got a lot of stars around him. So he knows that his role is just get them to certain spots on the field, get a good kick away if it's not going to be a Birdo bomb. And Reed Marnie, he's got to sort of tone it down this year and really figure out how he can help this team instead of just trying to elevate them to another level. Yep. Last year, I think it was just a little bit too much of a try-hard sort of spectrum from him.
I agree.
And hopefully he can just sort of get them on that front foot, because there's a lot to look forward to with this Bulldogs team. There's a lot of potential out there. Now, the Dolphins, 2024 gains, Jake Avarullo from the Bulldogs, Herbie Farmworth from the Broncos, and Thomas Fligler from the Broncos. Losses, Herman Issa. So the Dolphins, they finished last year in the 13th spot, but for a while there, they were cemented in that top eight before injuries obviously got the better of them. I think Jeremy Marshall-King and Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, that spine for them is just locked in perfectly. It's the halves, though. It's Isaiah Katoa and Sullivan. Sullivan looked fantastic earlier in the season before, obviously, the injury derailed that. Katoa's got a lot of potential ahead of him as well. So it's going to be how those halves step forward for them. And obviously, Herbie Farmworth, Avarillo creates depth coming in for them. But it's going to be Herbie Farmworth, how can he impact the side? You don't have Adam Reynolds, Ezra Mann, and Reece Walsh out there. You've got Katoa and Sullivan. So how are you going to bring that threat to them? Dolphins, it's going to be exciting. It's an aging forward pack again, but that spine looks really nice.
Yeah. No, I don't have much to add because those are exactly the points I was going to make. They were last year right in the top eight. A well-coached, well-drilled team, as you'd expect from a Wayne Bennett team. Strong, hard-nosed defensively. Kafusi putting on big hits all year. And they just played a very simple but effective style of attack with Sullivan and Katoa in the halves. I think, like you also said, that the depth that they've added with Farnworth, with Flegler, with Avarillo will kind of mitigate what was exposed last year when those injuries did occur. Because as a new team, you're not going to have a whole lot of players in your rosters and a good feeder system and stuff like that. So they were really kind of shorthanded once those injuries did occur. But with the depth they've got now, I think they can stay a bit more consistent than they did last year. And you've already mentioned him as well. I think the player to watch for them this year is Herbie Farnworth. Such a fantastic player, a strong ball carrier, hard to put down. He doesn't look super big. I don't think he would be 100 kilos, but he is just strong, fast when he's in open space, knows how to finish. Always up there in support when his outsides make a break as well. So I think him and Hammer will be a good combination, and I like to see what they do for the team.
In terms of the Dolphins,
Broncos Jr.
Yeah, Broncos Jr. Preseason for them has been interesting. I believe they have a really good young nucleus coming through the grades. And I didn't actually realize that the Dolphins are one of the few teams where you can play your junior footy right up to topside as well. So you can play for the Dolphins right through, which is impressive to see. Now the Cowboys, 2024 gains, Jake Clifford from Super League, Thomas McKayley from the Titans, and Viliame Vailea from the Warriors, who I'm really high on this season. Losses in Peter Hicku and Riley Price. Now the Cowboys, they had an interesting season last year. It was a bit of a second year syndrome, I guess you could say, as opposed to the year beforehand. Drinkwater, sort of rattled season due to suspension. You've got Young Dearden coming through. It's going to be interesting to see how he complements Townsend again this year and sort of who's that guy, because I think it is Drinkwater's team now, and we've got to see that kind of flair coming through from them. And just Townsend's just got to play that perfect role and let that left edge really cut through with Dearden. So
So the Cowboys last year, disappointing finish considering how good they were in 2022. Like you said, a bit of second year syndrome. Defensively was where they kind of fell off the most. I mean, 60 points to the Tigers is not good enough. They did show towards the middle of the season some glimpses of the attack that they showed in 2022 with obviously 70 points on that same team in the Tigers. But yeah, the Cowboys really didn't live up to the potential that was levied on them because of their success the year prior. But they haven't made too many big changes. Vallejo is a good pickup, I will give you that. But they haven't restructured the team a whole lot. But I still think they can do a little better, and I'm backing them to do a little better because they do have potential to get back to where they were based on health and confidence. And I think when they are a confident team, they are a very good team. So I do have them slightly improving, and I have them improving on the back of a potential Dally M candidate, the man you mentioned before. If they do even better than I expected, I could see him being right up there in that Dally M award race. It's Scotty Drinkwater, man. His try assist numbers last year, even in a somewhat struggling team, were outstanding. You'd see the box score and it would be 4 or 5 a game every time. Well over 100 run meters. Scott Drinkwater is an outstanding player. I know we're a bit of a Scott Drinkwater fan club over here at Lads Talking Footy, but he's fantastic, and I'm hoping he has another big season for this Cowboys team looking to bounce back.
I agree. I almost compare his game slightly to Walsh's in the way that they actually use him out the back, that sweeping sort of play, and he loves those cutout balls. Yep. kind of like that Latrell sort of spec as well.
I do, yeah. So it's a slightly less explosive, but maybe a keener eye for a gap and a hole with the passing game.
Yeah, and I agree. He made a good run for that Dele Alli towards the end of that as well. And it was just due to the suspension that we're sort of looking at that thinking, when we were doing our predictions and Scotty Drinkwater was right up there in the Dele Alli that might not win the Dele Alli sort of awards. Yeah, he's going to be huge for the Cowboys this year. Now, the Rabbitohs, 2024 gains, Sean Kepi from Manly and obviously Jack Whiten from the Raiders. They lose Jed Cartwright, Liam Knight, Hamasele and Blake Taff. Now, it was a disappointing year last year for the Bunnies. They ended up finishing ninth, having lost three of their last four games to enter the season. The big name with a big circle around it coming into this one is Lachlan Ilias. How's he going to go this season? Campbell Graham as well, out for 6 months, might be back mid-August with that sternum injury. Now, my big thing in this one is this was happening in Origin, and why are we just sort of sorting this out now? Yeah. It's been an ongoing issue for him. It's a shame that it's come with the timing. Obviously, they've got Whiten, who's just going to slot straight into that centre role, but we're not going to sort of see that full gun blazing of what we were from the Bunnies, because it looked like, for all accounts, Whiten was going to take that centre and Campbell was going to shift potentially to the wing. And boy, I was excited to see some of those returns for him. But like I said, Lachlan Ilias, big circle around his name this season. There's a lot of big names, big heads in this Bunnies team. How's he going to be that guy that fits in? And is he going to have a more consistent kicking game this year?
Yeah, so I actually had to quickly look at my standings because I didn't realize Campbell Graham was out for that long. That is a huge loss for them. He was such a key player for them last year in what was a disappointing year for them, but he was outstanding. So I don't like that he's gone down, and I might have to reconsider my rankings, but we'll keep it for now. A team as talented as that to miss out on the top eight is very alarming. And there was real dissent within the team between the coaches and some of the star players like Latrell and then the rest of the team as well during the season.
Special treatment, quotation marks going
exactly.
Around.
So I'm also surprised that Demetrio was back in the fold. So yeah, a very, very strange offseason for the Rabbitohs. Hopefully they've figured it out. There seems to be some sort of meetings and stuff to hash out the problems between all the players and people involved. So if they can get this right, at their best last year, I think more so at the start of the season, they were one of the most hard-nosed, hard-hitting, fit and physically overwhelming teams in the competition. Their forward pack was monstrous and really turned games over. They beat the Panthers at one point, I remember, and the Broncos in a stretch of time. So they were really good at one point at the start of the season. So they do have the potential to get back to that. Jack Whiten coming in is a very good thing, especially if they're going to play him in the centers, because I thought he was dog shit terrible in the halves last year for the Raiders, if I'm just being honest. But that's because I don't see him naturally as a half. I think his skill set is more suited to that of a center. So I think he's going to come in here and be a real help for the Rabbitohs, much like a Luke Brooks would be for a Manly Sea Eagles. So hopefully he comes in and adds some value, but I see it being more of the same for the Rabbitohs, treading around the same position from 9th to 7th. I've actually got them in the top 8, little spoiler alert. But, you know, with that Campbell Graham injury, it might be very costly for them because he was very good. And the player to watch for me, I always like to keep an eye on this guy because he is a superstar talent. We all know that. And that's Latrell Mitchell. But I always like to keep an eye on what that Puku's looking like coming into the season, because that really determines to me how serious he's taken the offseason, how serious he'll take this current season, and how effective he'll be for this team. And look, watching last night, it didn't look too big.
Little Puku.
It was a little Puku, but it wasn't crazy. So maybe he could play his way into some shape. But Puku or not, he's proven to be a devastating player with such force when he runs and then an absolute keen eye for putting people over the line and good try assists. So Latrell Mitchell, I'm hoping for a fit season where we see him at his best.
Early window as well out of the Bunnies camp. It looks like we're going to see Keon Kalamatangi shift from the right edge to the left.
Yeah.
And Jai Arrow will play on the right. So that left edge is going to be bolstered up with Cody Walker, Jack Whiten, Keon Kalamatangi, and then you got Alex Johnson out there as well. Latrell sweeping through. Whew. Danger signs on that left edge. So if you're a punter, look to load up.
And they love that left side attack as well. Ilias is going to be even more of a ghost in this team.
Just kick it, Casper, kick it. Now the Roosters, 2024 game, Spencer Lenu from the Panthers and Dominic Young from the Knights. Huge pickups for them. Their losses though, Corey Allen, Fletcher Baker, Drew Hutchinson, Paul Momorowski, Jackson Polo and Turpin. So they made the top eight last year in a big push in the final couple of rounds. They started the season last year 3-4 before going just on an absolute roller coaster of a season. Toxic to predict week to week from them, and all we're looking for is consistency from the Roosters. But the big one this year is, for me, Sammy Walker. Now, I was listening to the NRL physio podcast on him the other day, and it's been stated, he's talking about percentages in terms of injuries and re-injuring. So there's a 30 to 50% chance of rupturing an ACL, at some point of your career after straining it. So that's what he did last year. He strained his ACL. Yeah.
Bad news for us.
Yeah. We've ruptured. Re-rupture is a higher percentage as well.
Oh, you've already done it, eh?
Yeah. I'm sitting on my third. But yeah, that was concerning for me hearing that. And he was a little bit worried about, obviously, Sam Walker's a smaller body. Yeah. And he strained something. And a 30 to 50% chance of rupturing that ACL at some point in your career after straining it is concerning. I hope it's not next year for the Chooks, because they really need him to complement with Kerry out there. But yeah, what are you thinking for the Chookies this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to throw some curveballs at you in terms of takes, but we're kind of sitting on the same page with this team. They started last year with all sorts of defensive and offensive problems, but really came on strong towards the back end. And if you look at their forward pack and you look at their team throughout the back line, they've got actually a lot of depth and a lot of mobile young forwards, and then a lot of X-factor talent through that back line, which is only bolstered by the addition of Dom Young. So I really like the team in terms of just an entertainment standpoint. If you look at some of the players, Manu, Sualii, Tedesco, Dom Young, of course. So I think it could be an exciting team. And they've got a deep forward pack as it stands already, especially with Angus Crichton, you know, getting over his funny head problems. And getting Spencer Lenu back into the fold as well. Tonga Mapia must be waiting in the wings as well. So the Roosters have got a good team on paper. It's just really how it's going to be applied, and it really comes down to the half play. I do agree with all your points about Sam Walker. He is really good, but he is a liability on defense, and he is a bit of a gambler. So with his health problems as well, the team is only going to go as far as the form and the health that he puts on the field is, that he puts out there. Because this Roosters team is super talented, but that's only been the question mark over these last couple of years, is what is their half play like? And they've had Sam Walker in and out of the lineup. They've tried to experiment with Manu. Kerry's been consistent. I mean, he's got a good running game, and, you know, he can add a little bit of X factor every now and then, but it really comes down to who can create the offense and make it spark. And Sam Walker is that guy when he's in his best footy. So I guess he's the player to watch. But another player that I want to keep an eye on is Sua Wong, because I was really interested in his addition last year. He came into the team and he showed some great glimpses. Good mobile young forward, got a good offloading game. So Sua Wong, I think, is going to make the most of his new minutes in the starting role in the second row.
It is very exciting what's coming through for them. They've got Spencer Lenu, who is arguably going to be that JWH sort of 2.0 coming in for them. And obviously Terrell May as
Hopefully stays on the field more than JWH. Yeah.
Terrell May as well for them, who has actually withdrawn. I think it was the Bulldogs were looking to sign him with the potential of going after the package of the brothers. That's been pulled, so it's going to be interesting to see if maybe they're looking at young Taylor May replacing Manu in the centres as well moving forward. But like you said, young forwards coming through them are going to be exciting, and I just hope the halves are out there, because Manu and a half, how they sort of juggle the whole Sualii leaving, Manu potentially leaving thing moving forward is going to be interesting. They've got to keep all that stuff in-house. Brandon Smith as well, want a good season from him this year.
Exactly.
The Knights, 2024 gains, Jed Cartwright from the Rabbitohs, Jack Cogger from the Panthers, Tom Jenkins from the Panthers, and Will Price from Super League. Losses, Farmanu Brown, Adam Clune, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Kurt Mann, and Dom Young. Last year, they finished in fifth place. They went on a 9-game-in-a-row run to end the season.
That was huge momentum.
I know. Yeah. Phoenix Crossland, he was great for them, filled in really well, had a huge season to end with it. It's going to be interesting to see how Jaden Brayley sort of fits back into that, and Jackson Hastings as well. He's got to be fit, and he's got to be healthy if they're going to make any sort of run this season. KP, fantastic. Yeah. Looks like the head knocks, touch wood, are behind him, and hopefully we get a full season out of him. And like we were saying earlier, with Reece Walsh coming out, wanting that Origin jersey, he wants that as well. Yeah. So, yeah, the Knights, a lot to look forward to.
I mean, I think the concussions may be behind him, because he's going to start running people over, because I've seen a picture on the Knights page of him with the big old man block abs. So he's been in the lab. He's been sizing, man.
Turtle shell on his front.
Yeah. This team was like the equivalent of the Warriors for Australia, man. They were the darlings of the competition, especially with that 9-game run. I didn't realize it was that long, but that is a good run. great fan attendance for them. The Newcastle fans base got behind them and really supported this team. It was a good team, a much improved team, played with a lot of self-belief and confidence, and turned over games in what seemed like their best record in ages. I feel like the Knights have been kind of, you know, treading water down the bottom, much like the Warriors for a long time. So it was good to see them actually make a bit of a jump there. In saying that, I don't want to put a damper on the Knights because I actually like them as a team, but they are giving me 2022 Cowboys vibes.
Yeah, I agree.
And I can see them dropping off a little bit this year. They haven't made anything major in the way of changes, but they've actually lost Dom Young, who was a key contributor on that wing last year in terms of like carries from the back as well. I know they were one of the best teams at exit sets with Dom Young, with Greg Marzu, and with Kalen Ponga catching the ball and making good meters off that. So that is actually a big loss for them.
Fitzgibbon's a big loss for them, I think, as well. He's an old head, he's experienced, but man, he had a good season last year.
Exactly. And I think games where they were surprising teams and turning them over with upsets, teams are going to be a little bit more prepared for how good this team actually is. And I don't think those games will come as easily. So I'm not going to say they'd fall right down the ladder, but top eight might be hard for them. And I don't want to get to my ladder predictions yet, but it might be 50-50 for the Knights this year. Player to watch, obviously, is Kalen Ponga because reigning Dally M, fantastic all the time, such a talent. But I think what's really going to benefit him this year is the new downtown rules that they've introduced into the NRL, where they're trying to keep players from advancing in front of the play of the ball when the kick is made, which with a counter-attack guy like Kalen Ponga is going to be so helpful because he's already finding seams as it is already. So these downtown rules are going to help him, and you could see another big season from
No, I do agree. And like you said, though, when you're looking at that Knights team and you're game planning for them, you just got that dude, Willie Mason put it perfectly. Yeah. Who the fuck else is there on that team that we're sort of, that is that threat? You've got Dom.
Tyson Gamble.
Yeah, you got no Dom Young this year. We all know what Marju can do, but we all know what he can do defensively as well. And you're just going to be looking for Ponga. Where's Ponga? Where's Ponga? Yeah. So what they do this season will be interesting. Now, the Melbourne Storm, 2024 game, Sean Bloor from the Tigers. Losses, they've lost Tom Eisenhuth, Justin Olam, and Tarek Sim. Centers around Puppy for me. Such a great spine when you look through this. Jerome Hughes, Cam Munster, and Harry Grant. And then you introduce Puppy back into this. It's going to be interesting to see with the rest of the competition climbing, though, that forward pack for them, what can they do this year when you got those beasts out there, like the Chooks, all these guys coming through. What do you think about the Storm?
Yeah, so they were in the hunt last year like they always are with Craig Bellamy and players like Harry Grant, Cam Munster, and Jerome Hughes. And they played an exceptionally fast brand of footy like Craig Bellamy is known to implement. And it's off the back of insane ruck speed and always probing threats from your likes of Harry Grant, the successor to Cameron Smith, and Cameron Munster. And it'll probably be the same this year. They're always going to have a fast brand of footy and they're always going to be very dangerous and have the potential to run up big scores. Always strong at home as well. But they did show in the playoffs that they were a cut above those top two teams, getting smoked by both the Broncos and then later on in the run getting smoked by the Panthers. So with no major changes, I don't know if they're going to close that gap. And like you said, some teams have made a lot of changes to help them improve and maybe close the gap between the bottom half of the eight and the top four Melbourne Storm. So I do think they may go down this year unless there's a big unless, and that's my player to watch. Ryan Papenhuyzen is fully back, and I saw some very, very promising signs with that try back on the inside from the little chip kick of him just skinning everybody cold and scoring that try in the preseason game against the Bulldogs. So if he is back in top form, with the speed of play that they do and the opportunities he'll get around that ruck, always being in support, one of the best support players in the NRL, the Storm could be back. So their range for me is anywhere from first down to like sixth or seventh. But they'll always be there in the hunt. They'll always be in the playoffs. And another player I want to keep an eye on is Sua Faalongo, whether he gets some run, because he was outstanding. He was such a talent for Samoa in the Tri-Nations, I guess you call it, at the back end of last year. So I want to see what he does when he gets an opportunity, because exciting player as well. Good young talent.
I agree. And like you said, all they need is a quick play the ball before they can start lighting some teams up. So it's going to be, the Storm, like you said, it's a big window. It can be from one. It could be even potentially missing the eight altogether.
It's just the pack. I'll agree with you. It seems a little thin to me. They've got some good players, some quality players, but it's kind of giving me a better version of the, who do we mention earlier? Bulldogs pack vibe.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the Panthers, 2024 gains. They gained Paul Elamotti from the Bulldogs, Dane Laurie from the Tigers. His returns back to the Panthers. Riley Price from the Cowboys. Now, this is Steve Price's young or son.
Yeah.
Very excited to see how he goes when you add someone like that into a Panthers system. God help the rest of the competition. Brad Schneider from the Raiders. Now, they've lost Jack Cogger, Stephen Crichton, Zach Hosking, Tom Jenkins, Spencer Lenu, and Jamin Salmon. You lose so much talent, and you're looking through the team, and you just can't knock these guys off. The only thing that I hope is the whole Luai sort of situation doesn't unfold for the Panthers throughout the season. I think they're a team and an organization that is a lot bigger than something like that to get in the way of. We obviously saw that in Stephen Crichton last year. It's something that they sort of got behind. They start with the Storm, the Eels, the Broncos, Roosters, and then Manly.
Ooh.
They go Tigers, Cowboys, and then Bunnies. These are all teams that are going to want to knock them off.
Yeah.
And don't forget the Tigers beat them last year as well. So the Penrith Panthers, look, it's a dynasty in the mix at the moment. There's one dude at the helm of it in Nathan Cleary. His dad, Ivan Cleary. It's just fantastic to see what they're building this year. And it's a next man up sort of system that they've got. They lose these guys, but you add in someone like Paul Elamotti. It's going to be interesting to see what he does this season in that system. You got Taylor May, which looks like all accounts, he's going to be taking that center role. Man, so exciting.
I mean, guys, I swear we don't do these notes together, but you have touched on a lot of points that I was going to make. These... perfectly said, man. This is the cream of the crop. This is the current dynasty in the NRL. Three premierships in a row. Best defensive team I've ever seen.
Mm.
They haven't lost too much. Well, besides their gun center. They haven't lost too much in the way of their pack in terms of defense. They're led by the best player in the world at the moment, in Nathan Cleary. And they've got no glaring weaknesses in the team. Even with Crichton going down, it's like you said, it's next man up. These young dudes, Tago, May, Alamotti, have shown that they're more than NRL ready. And it's just a dynasty that seems to keep rolling. And every year you look at the squad on paper and you go, damn, they could really just win it again this year.
Mm.
Smart money would be just putting it on them to go four in a row. It is a fantastic team. Laurie is going to be a handy utility pickup as well. Dwayne Laurie, he showed some glimpses for the Tigers last year. But in saying that, nothing lasts forever, man. Mm. Nothing lasts forever. And this might be optimistic thinking to kind of open up the window for the Warriors, but every year they just keep chipping away pieces. Stephen Crichton and Spencer Lenu this year. And then Jerome Luai, I agree that he loves the Panthers organization. He'll do nothing to like hurt them in terms of like quality of play on the field and having his eye on next season or anything like that. So I think he'll be a professional, but that is just another factor that could cause some like,
media headlines and outside.
Yeah, a lack of cohesion within the team as well. Like, this guy's on the way out and he's fucking doing grubby stuff and he got a red card. Like, you know, there could be stuff like that that come into play. So they will be very good. They will be a top four team. I think that's pretty much a given at this point. But I probably said this last year.
I was just about to jump in. We did say this last year. With the loss of Appy after the first couple of games, we were saying, are there chinks in the armor right now?
Yeah. And I'll probably shoot myself in the foot again this year, but I'm gonna ride it. I'm going to be consistent with my takes and say they will show vulnerability. They will drop games here and there. Like you said, it's a very difficult schedule. So I do think they won't get the minor premiership. I'll say that much. And I said the exact same thing last year, but I'll stand by it. The player to watch, there is one guy I'm going to watch very, very keenly, but we'll get to him a little bit later in some of our other predictions. But Dylan Edwards, I think he's going to be origin bound this year. He is the fittest man in the NRL. He is consistently over 200 running meters. He is such a workhorse. I think he looks like an accountant, but it's time he gets a bit of shine and he gets a bit of recognition at that next level, at representative level, because he is a fantastic player and I hope that the opportunities come for him this year.
I like that. Now that wraps up all of the gains and the losses for everyone this season. Now what we're going to do is we're going to discuss our Dally M winner each and an early prediction for that. And then to end the show, we're going to rattle off our top 8 predictions. So,
oh, I've got 16.
Oh, you got 16?
I've got 16.
So for me, looking through all of the teams, you've got the likes of Harry Grant, you've got Reece Walsh, you've got Nathan Cleary. they're all up there for me, but they've also got other stars in those teams around them that will put points on each week. So then you start to look at the guys like KP, you look at Nico, you look at even Tommy Turbo returning for Manly, and you've got to consider them. I think one player that might surprise a few this season is CNK. I think he might be a good shout for the Warriors, just in terms of the effort that we saw last year and sort of how maybe those other players will be playing in some sort of role and he might break out of it. But look, I'm going to go with someone that hasn't won it yet. And I think he's in for an absolute monster season this year. He took home the Clive Churchill in one of the best performances in a game we've seen in last year. And that's Nathan Cleary. The last 2 years, he's missed lengthy spells due to injury and due to suspension. I think if he can put together a full season this year for the Penrith Panthers, he's going to tick off an award that he hasn't won yet, and he's going to continue to make that claim for the greatest rugby league player that we have ever seen. I'm going Nathan Cleary to win the Dally M award this season.
And just like the theme of the show, I'm holding hands with you again because I'm actually picking Nathan Cleary as well. He's just the best, man. Mm. That Clive Churchill medal performance in the finals last year was outstanding. One of the clutchest performance I've seen from an individual in such a big game. Maybe ever. Mm. Maybe ever. He is fantastic. If he can keep his health under control or his TikTok girls at his house sort of situations and not get suspended, he is going to be the best player on the field most nights. And I can see him with key players that have been part of this dynasty falling off and going to other teams, and then Jerome Luai with maybe an eye on the future. I've already said he's probably not going to do that, but could happen. It is a factor. I think Nathan Cleary is going to carry this team to a third place, a fourth place, top four seed, and do really good again. Always going to be up there in fantasy, hopefully, because I've got him captain for my team. Just So Nathan Cleary, man, Dally M, I can't look past it.
Nice, I agree. Now we're going to get into the top eight predictions. So for me, this year is actually really, really tough. I think I said that again last year when you're looking through it, because I like what everyone has done with their squads besides the Dragons. Yep. That's why I've got them finishing in last place. So 17th place for me is the Dragons. Who have you got in 17th?
17th, I have also got the Dragons. I'll hold hands with you there as well. I think they downgraded at the half position. I know he's the coach's son, but that's never a good look for me as well.
Yeah.
And they just haven't really made anything in terms of eye-popping changes from an already struggling team. And I think Ben Hunt is going to, you know, keep that controversy up and wanting to leave. So, yeah, Dragons, wooden spoon. Sorry, Caitlin.
Nice. In 16th place, so I'm going to go the Tigers in this one. It's the halves for me. Appy and Buller, I think they're going to be great for them. What's going to sort of happen around in the middle of the park? Who's going to be that enforcer for them? Just when you're looking through all of these other packs, I just can't see the Tigers climbing too much up the ranks just yet, and that's why I've got them finishing in 16th.
Yeah, good forward pack. I agree. I've got them at 16th as well, the Tigers. But yeah, it's just their half players a little bit of a question. Rookie head coach as well. So I don't see them jumping up, but they'll probably get above the Dragons, hopefully.
Yeah. 15th place. Now, I'm going to go the Titans in this one. I think Foz is getting a little bit older in the tooth. Injuries are going to start to creep in. David Fafita, he won't be returning until round 4 or 5 at a minimum, so that's going to be a big loss for them to start the season. And it's a lot. You're putting all your eggs in one basket and Jaden Campbell at fullback. I think Tana Boyd is solid, but he's not up there with the contenders.
Yeah.
And those other halves that we've got around the competition. I think it is a shame because I like what the Titans are doing. And they're a team that can just sort of just cut someone apart. Yeah. But man, they showed exactly what it was last year. And they're a team that can just get cut apart in a half. So Titans for me, they're sitting in 15th.
Yeah, I've got the Titans also sitting in 15th, dropping down from 14th. Yeah, like you said, I like the potential of their team. They've kind of done first things first by re-signing their big forwards, Tino and David Fafita, this offseason. And they haven't worked on building the team around them. They've still got some quality guys, like you said, that can help towards good rugby league. But Kieran Foran is aging. Tanner Boyd is not elite. And they just don't really move the needle for me. So I've actually got them in 15th.
Nice. In 14th place for me, I've got the Dolphins. I think they still have a lot to prove in their young halves with an aging forward pack. Kaufusi, he needs to be off the sidelines this year and actually be that proper enforcer on the field. I think Herbie Farmworth, great addition for them. But like I said earlier, he's not around Mam, he's not around Reynolds, and he's not around Walsh anymore. So how's he going to be that sort of guy when he's going to be have a big target on his back? So for me, I've got in 14th spot the Dolphins.
Yeah, this is the first difference we have. I've got the Bulldogs in 14th. I think they're going to go up slightly from 15th, but I don't see them jumping all the way up the table because, like I said, I don't like their forward pack. They were a little bit inconsistent last year. Well, they were consistently bad for some stretches, but they'll be inconsistent again this year. I don't like what Marnie and Kikau actually turned into last year. They kind of fell off, and I think they're still going to struggle and be inconsistent, but they'll be exciting. But yeah, 14th is where they'll stand for me.
Nice. And 13th place, I've got the Knights. They had a great run last year and a good squad. I think Ponga and Best, they're going to have big years this season. But for me, it's the health of Jackson Hastings, and can this pack actually back up what they did last season? I'm not sure. I'm rolling on second year syndrome, and the Knights are really dropping off.
Damn. I mean, I've got the Knights sort of falling to that as well, but not all the way to 13th. That's where I'll have another team that I see slip in, and that's the Raiders. They've got a young team. They've got a good team. Like, we saw how good Tarpany is, and their pack will always be strong, but Papali's getting a little bit older. Some of their British dudes are getting a little bit older. Hudson Young is always a good player, but it's like it's an aging forward pack that's still really good and a young back line that still has a lot to prove. So I think Ricky Stewart will get them above these bottom feeders, but I still see 13th as, you know, probably an accurate representation of where they'll end up.
Yeah. In 12th spot this year, I'm going to go the Bulldogs. Now, look, I like what they've added in terms of Bronson Cherry coming back in, Stephen Cronin, that bolsters your centre stocks hugely. You've got Blake Taff, who's a fantastic utility and a guy that will happily come off the bench, do whatever's needed for the team if Stephen Crichton looks to shift to fullback. So it's all going to fold around Sexton, and can Marnie actually fit into that nine role that we want to see. So the Bulldogs, I'm locking them in at 11th.
Yeah, and this is where I've got the Dolphins. We up to 11th or 12th?
Sorry, 12th.
12th, yeah. This is where I've got the Dolphins. So the Dolphins at 12th, I've got them up from 13th. They're just still building, still getting the pieces. I like the depth that they've added. Their halves are good, but they don't move the needle. They're not X-factor halves. So I'm still probably waiting for an improvement in that position. But yeah, I think they'll be consistent again as long as health goes their way. Wayne Bennett is a fantastic coach, and they've got some great pickups. So I see the Dolphins going up from 13th to 12th.
Nice. In 11th spot, I'm going to go the Parramatta Eels. They finished in 10th spot last year. I'm knocking them down just a little bit further. I think health is going to dictate them hugely this season. And it's a tough call when you look at that half spot and Moses and Brown, and you've got Gutho at the back. But we just saw a lot of question marks in the outside backs for them last season. It started to look a little bit more consistent towards the end of the year, but can they actually take that step forward and be a proper contender this year? And Brendan Hands is going to have to, I know, they love an 80-minute hooker there. So
yeah.
Is he going to be that guy for them this season? Because it's lot to stand in the middle and bang with those forwards like that and then unlock that attack for them that they really need. So yeah, Parramatta Eels, I got them in at 11th.
Yeah, and I've got another fall-off team dropping down to 11th from 6th, and that's the Cronulla Sharks. I think I didn't like the way I didn't like their record last year against top 8 teams, and I think the rest of the league is going to figure out their, you know, attack from everywhere and, you know, not prioritize territory style. So I think the Sharks are going to have a little bit of a fall-off season as well. I've got them down in 11th.
At 10th place, I've got the Canberra Raiders. I know I said last show I was quite high on them this season to actually upset a few teams. I like the punch that they've got in the forward pack still. Tarpany is going to be huge for them. Papali'i, yeah, he's aging, but it's going to be interesting to see sort of what he can do just in some limited minutes this season. And the outside backs, they've got a lot to prove this season. Xavier Savage, from all accounts, what I've seen in preseason, he's looking fantastic. Can he actually be that guy? And it's Fogarty's team now. It's going to be a very interesting style or a very different brand of football we're going to see from the Raiders as opposed to recent years when we've had Whiten in there. So how's that all sort of going to play together? But I like what the Raiders are doing. I think they're going to upset some teams, and I've got them in at 10th.
Okay, yeah, and I've got the 10th place team being the Parramatta Eels, slightly above where you had them at 11th. And that's the only team that hasn't changed position for me. I have them being the exact same. They haven't really made anything in terms of changes, so I guess that's just how it is. They're going to stay the same until they kind of blow it up or make a huge addition. So yeah, Parramatta, 10th again.
And at ninth spot, just missing the 8 for me, is the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I think Campbell Graham is a massive loss for them this year. He was fantastic for them last year. He looked like he was on the brink of a fantastic season, breakout season, origin star. We saw what he did in the international game beforehand as well. And it's going to be, how does Whiten actually fit into this? Are we going to see too many Chiefs and not enough Indians in the squad again this season? How does Ilias go? Does Walker start to take some sort of decline? And who's going to be that enforcer in the middle for them? I like what we've got on the edges for them, but who's going to be the guy that brings that punch forward? Rabbitohs, I've got them finishing in at 9th.
And in 9th place for me, I have the team I alluded to earlier that might take a little bit of a slip off with some second year syndrome, and that is the Newcastle Knights just missing out on the eight. I think they're going to drop games that they were turning over with self-belief and confidence last year, and I don't see any nine-game win streaks from them this season because they're not going to sneak up on teams. So I see the Knights taking a slight dip from fifth down to ninth.
Nice. Starting off my top eight, in an eighth spot for me, I got Manly. It all centers around Tommy Turbo for me. I think if there's injury concerns, Manly is going to drop off immensely this season. How's Luke Brooks going to actually fit into the side? How's the health of Josh Schuster going to go? If it all comes together and it all complements itself, I really like what they can do. You got DCE, absolutely outstanding. He's a thief in the night with those intercepts. Kicking game that's elite in the competition. So I've got them to round out the top eight.
Okay, yeah. And I've got from fall-off boys to comeback kids. I've got the Cowboys going from 11th to 8th. They're going to bounce back after their second-year syndrome, sneak back into the top eight. I like their team. It is talented. They just got to work out some issues on defense, and then I think they'll be right back in the hunt on the back of Scotty Drinkwater.
I like it. And at 7th spot for me is the Sharks. I've got them in the top eight this year. I do like what they've got. The young forwards that are coming through, like you said, it's going to be if they can actually knock off those top eight teams this year and who's going to be sort of that guy outside of Nico who's going to step up for them. But yeah, I like what the Sharkies have got, and I've got them at 7th.
Okay, and in 7th for me, I have a questionable one given that I've learnt how bad Campbell Graham's injury is. The Rabbitohs. I've got them climbing from 9th to 7th. I'm going to keep them there because they are a strong team on paper. They've got a solid, physically overwhelming forward pack. That left side sounds dangerous as fuck to me. That right side sounds weak as piss. But, you know, the Rabbitohs do go heavy on the sides that they prefer when they do have the talent out there. So I think they're going to be a dangerous team again. I've got them at 7th.
Nice. And at 6th spot for me, I've got the Roosters. I like what they've got in that young forward pack coming through, relying on the health in both halves from them. I think Teddy's going to have a bit of a bounce back season this year. He's going to want to keep claim on that Origin number one jersey as well for them. And I like what you bring in Dom Young, man. That's going to be so exciting. You've got Suaalii, Joseph Manu. The outside backs is just going to be electric. I don't think there's a better top back five in the competition than what the Roosters have got right now. So I've got them in at 6th spot.
Yeah, and I mean, it got a little bit murky for us in the middle there, but we're back on the same page with the Roosters at 6th spot. Yeah, man, it's just an X-factor team. If you were to break the Roosters up and put them in a skills challenge of some sort on an NRL All-Star weekend, they'd probably win because they have just got X-factor out of their ears, bro. They've got such a good team. I see them improving. Good forward pack. Nice additions. Just depends on Sam Walker's health, but I can see them being a good team at 6th.
Nice. And at 5th spot for me, I've got the Melbourne Storm. Like we said earlier, I can see them slipping from right up and even that second spot to right down missing the 8. I've got them locked in at that 5th spot because I don't think you can ride out Jerome Hughes, Cam Munster, Pappenhausen, and Harry Grant. There's not a better spine in the competition for me than that spine. It's just going to be what is around them and how that sort of elevates to where they're going to end up finishing on the table. But in 5th spot, I've got the Melbourne Storm.
Again, same with you. I've got the Melbourne Storm at 5th place. I did say they could be anywhere from 1 to 8 as well. I'll split the difference, chuck them somewhere in the middle at 5th. That is slightly down from 3rd last year. I do have some questions over their forward pack and whether they'll be able to maintain a solid level of play for them. But like you said, you've got Craig Bellamy and you've got one of the best spines in the competition, especially if Pappenhausen is healthy. So I can't see them going any lower than 5th.
Nice. And at 4th spot, like you said, the comeback kids, I've got them coming way back up the ranks, and that's the North Queensland Cowboys.
Sheesh.
Scotty Drinkwater, I think he's in for a big season this year. Tommy Dearden, killing it in the Bronco time. I think he's in for a huge season this year as well. I like what they've brought in. I think Valame is going to be huge for them in that centre role. I like what the Cowboys are building. I think if they can figure out that defensive side to go along with the tack, that's just second to none. Reece Robson as well, huge for them in the middle. I like what the Cowboys are doing. I got them in full spot.
Okay, and I also have some comeback kids, and you'll love this one. I mentioned it last week. I've got the Sea Eagles climbing from 12th all the way up to 4th. So that is the biggest climbers for me in the competition this year. A lot of it, of course, comes down to the health of Tommy Turbo, but I like the addition of Brooks. I like their forward pack. It is a big, physically imposing forward pack. They have such speed and pace on the outsides that if a half break is to happen with aggressive halves like Cherry Evans and Luke Brooks, well, not so much Cherry, but Luke Brooks, there is going to be opportunities to finish those off. And I'm just praying that Tommy Turbo finally gets a healthy season after, you know, it seems like years ago he won the Dally M now. So I've got the Sea Eagles climbing back to the top 4. Fourth spot, yeah.
Yeah, look, just to add on that, we talked about the Bunnies' left edge. Mm. The right edge for the Sea Eagles gets me very excited. You got DCE out there, you got Homoli, you got Tolu Kola, and you got Jason Saab, who's starting the season off fit and healthy. From all I've seen, he's sprinting the house down at the moment. And you got Tommy Turbo out the back. I like it. For me, in at third spot, I've got the Penrith Panthers. I think they're going to slip a little bit this year. Like I said, we've got Nathan Cleary who's going to put the team on his back again this year. He's going to have a huge season. But when you're looking at the calibre of the competition around them, I just think they're going to drop a couple of games here and there. And like I said earlier, that start to the season, there's going to be a lot of content creators out there potentially putting in ladder marks with the Penrith Panthers right down there to begin the year. But I think they will climb their way back. And I've got them in at third spot.
And I'm the exact same as you. I've got them dropping from the minor premiership last year down to the third spot just based on the strength of schedule and just based on, you know, losing some more key players as part of their dynasty. They'll still be there. They'll still be a threat. They'll still have the ability to beat anyone on their day. But I do see them losing a few more games in these top two that I've got coming up. I've got the Panthers at third.
Nice. Now we're down to the top, the final two spots. And if I've been doing my counting my cards correctly as we've been going, we've got the Brisbane Broncos sitting around there. And we've got the One New Zealand Warriors sitting around there. So what we're going to do is I'll let you go first your second. And then I'll go my second off there. So who have you got in second spot, Jordan?
Well, there's only two teams left. So this might seem a little bit unpatriotic, but I've actually got the New Zealand Warriors not quite taking the minor premiership, getting second place. But obviously that is a huge improvement from fourth. And I just like the additions they made. I like another year with Webster as our coach. I like the forward pack. I just like the quality of footy we put out on the field last year, and I can see us improving on that. And yeah, with Roger Tuivasa, Sheck coming back into the fold, Harris DeVita coming back into the fold, I think we're going to be a very good team and win a lot of games. So I've got us coming second.
Nice. In its second spot here, I've got the Brisbane Broncos. I think it's a big loss for them losing Herbie Farmworth. In the centre stocks, you've got a lot of outside edge forwards that they've lost as well. And, I mean, we're already seeing the tit for tat. We've got Paddy Carrigan and Adam Reynolds already in the headlines. What's Vegas got behind closed doors for the Broncos in terms of suspension and how's the season actually going to go? But, look, I like what they do. Reece Walsh, absolutely outstanding. Ezra Mam, I think he's in for a huge season this year. I like what the Broncos are building. I just don't think they're going to take home the minor premiership. And for me, taking home the minor premiership is the New Zealand Warriors. Now, like you said, you're adding RTS back into the fold. You've already got what you've built on this season. It might be Adam Fanua Blake's last season this year for the Warriors, but I think they're going to want to go out on the fairy tales.
Yeah.
Now, one thing for the Warriors this season is we've got depth, but we've also got origin. Yeah. And I think that is going to be the thing that separates the New Zealand Warriors from the rest of the pack. And we're not going to have a lot of stars in that origin fold. And that's where we're going to sort of knock a few more teams off and get those wins for us. So for me, the New Zealand Warriors, they are taking home the minor premiership this year. Who do you have?
And obviously I've got the Brisbane Broncos. I just think they're going to have a sour taste in their mouth from that grand final last year. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to win a lot of games because they're going to take every game seriously and try to prove a point. They've still got a super talented roster, a super exciting backline. They've lost some key pieces, but I think it can keep turning on the back of Adam Reynolds, on the back of Ezra Mann, on the back of Reece Walsh, the gun at the back. So I think the Brisbane Broncos, with a point to prove, will be the minor premiers. But do you have a take for the major premiership yet? Because I do.
Early door look. I mean, I've got the Warriors in there. The fairy tale season is going to be there. And I really hope that they can get a few finals games at home this season as well. So look, I'm going to put them in there. But what I'm going to do is there's going to be a smoky. There's going to be a team that sort of upsets the ranks. It might be the Roosters. Yeah. It might be the Cowboys. Or it might be the Sharks. I see a Bolter coming through and having a run to end it. It's all going to come on seeding positions to fall from there. But from all accounts, what I'm going here, when you've got the Cowboys, the Panthers, the Broncos, and the Warriors in my top four, and you've got teams like the Sharks, the Roosters, the Storm, and Manly in that top eight out from there, I'm going to go the New Zealand Warriors, take on the Cronulla Sharks in this year's final.
Damn, my man. I've got it the exact same. With my standings, you'll see I've got a little... but I've got the title on the New Zealand Warriors. I think it's going to take a bit of a dream run, but with the competition being a little bit more even this year at the top, instead of just two out-and-out gun teams in terms of the Broncos and the Panthers, those two teams have lost some players, so I think they're going to come down to the rest of the field, and there will be upsets along the way. Warriors do love a playoff upset, so it could be us upsetting one of them, or it could be some of those other teams, like you said, doing an upset to one of the big dogs. So I agree, it will be the Warriors versus one of these lower teams. And the lower team that I think will make the run, I'm going to say Warriors. This is not an upset team, but I'm going to say Warriors Storm final. That is my pick.
I like that. Yeah. That's a good game. That'd be a very good game to watch.
And we can beat the Storm in the playoffs. It's exactly. Been proven before.
We've seen it. Michael Witt special. Well, that rounds off our preseason show. So I hope you enjoyed all of our takes. It'll be interesting to see how the ladder predictions end up shaping come the back end of a long and enjoyable season that's ahead of us. That ends all of that for us for now. But you'll see us in, I think it'll be 2 weeks' time when we do a season preview. The boys are going to be in Vegas shortly, so it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, we'll see you soon and enjoy the show.